Hello and welcome to the Thursday, June 21st, 2012 edition of the Sands and Night Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I am today recording from Baltimore, Maryland. Let's start with probably the big news story for the week in general, and that was the Washington Post article about Flame and Stuxnet, which for the first time, at least using some identified sources, attributed both attacks to Israeli and U.S. intelligence services. In particular, one interesting detail that was sort of revealed here is that the Flame worm or malware was really more a precursor for Stuxnet in the sense that it was used to collect the intelligence necessary to launch Stuxnet. This makes sense in the sense that Flame was really just intelligence gathering, a piece of malware, didn't do any real damage. It may also explain the somewhat modular nature of Flame in the sense that it was the tool that kept getting modified and tweaked to actually penetrate the network, collect the information necessary. But then Stuxnet was a lot more compact because it was sort of that single purpose tool. In addition, it was also noted in these articles that that the activities of U.S. and Israeli intelligence services are not always that well synchronized, which in part may have led to the discovery of the Flame malware and to the spread of Stuxnet beyond its original scope of Iran. Lots of speculation here, and of course, again, based on unnamed sources, nothing that's really revealed in these articles could sort of be backed up by code, at least no sort of definite proof is available. Meanwhile, there are more attacks against the Syrian opposition. These attacks are usually attributed to the Syrian government, but again, there is very little direct evidence for this. The main vector appears to be Skype, where Skype is used to advertise malicious software, either as a Skype encryption kit or as security software. Skype itself is, of course, already encrypted, so there isn't really any need to install additional encryption software with Skype, unless, of course, you don't necessarily trust the Skype encryption scheme. And the Food and Drug Administration published interesting stats stating that 24% of all medical device recalls were due to software flaws. Of course, earlier this week, we talked about one medical device company whose website was compromised, and that website was used to distribute malware. Now, in this case, the firmware for medical devices that was also stored and distributed via that website appeared to be unaffected, and the FDA report really just relates to buggy software, not necessarily to security issues. However, what that shows overall is that medical software is not better than any other software and as such is susceptible to the same flaws based on just bad software engineering. With this report, the FDA also announced that it will become more active when it comes to reviewing software and is trying to come up, for example, with respective regimens to actually verify that the software is written correctly and how to identify malware and malicious code that may affect medical devices. And one of last week's big news items, of course, was plain text passwords or badly hashed passwords. Brian Greps blogged about this on his Greps on Security website. And one interesting site that he mentioned as part of his article is plaintextoffenders.com, a website that collects emails from companies that will send you password reset emails with your original password included. Take a look at the site plaintextoffenders.com. If you do receive such an email from a company, feel free to forward it to them. I would recommend that you remove or obfuscate your password before you pass it on to this website. Well, anyway, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.